Glad to see each one of you out here this morning, and I'll give a welcome to our visitors. And thank you, Mark, for leading us out in those songs, Devin and Max, for your help. I didn't know Mark was going to have a young guy helping him, and I'm actually going to do something a little bit the same this morning. I think it's very important to get our young people started helping in church, even younger than maybe we've done in the past, so Cody's going to be helping me a little bit this morning. The title of my message this morning is Knowing God, which is why I had Mark lead that song. That song has always meant a lot to me, to try to get to know God better. And so my passage this morning is out of Jeremiah chapter 9, if you want to turn to that. And Cody, if you want to come forward, Cody is going to read the scripture for me this morning. It's not much, but it is a way to get our young men involved, and I plan to be doing this more, maybe with people Cody's age or maybe a little bit younger, a little bit older. So I want to use this one. And so if you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, Cody's going to be reading verses 23 and 24.
Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let the man who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, says the Lord.
Thank you, Cody. It gives us a couple things there in verse 24 that the Lord says not to glory in. The riches, might, wisdom, might, and riches. The Lord says not to glory in that. They don't mean much. But if you're going to glory, glory in this, that you understand and that you know God. Now, I think each one of us here knows God. Most of us here have heard about God our entire lives. A large majority of us have a personal relationship with God. And the reason I don't say all of us, because there's some really young children in here that haven't made that decision yet. So, we know God. I'm not talking to a group of people that don't know about God, that don't know God. And so, I wasn't quite sure how to approach this. But yet, there's always a way to get to know God better. To learn to know Him better on a deeper level. But how do we do that? If you look at a good marriage, you never stop getting to know your spouse. You spend, well, it depends how long you spend dating. Some people it's a couple months, other people it's 5 years. But you spend all that time getting to know this person, and then you get married. You don't stop getting to know them there. You can be married for 10, 11 years and still discover things about your spouse. You're like, oh, really? I didn't know that. Christian life is a lot the same way. We should never stop trying to get to know God. But it's a little bit different trying to get to know God than it is to get to know another person. If you want to get to know somebody better, you spend a lot of time with them. You meet with them for dinner or you go do things together. You spend a lot of face-to-face time with them. And you can look at them and ask them questions and talk about different subjects. And you have that close, personal, face-to-face interaction with them. And that's how you get to know them. But we can't sit down at the dinner table with God. We can't look God in the eyes and ask Him questions and talk to Him. And so because we can't have that physical face-to-face interaction with God, sometimes I think we tend to start to feel that God isn't a personal God. Or we start to wonder, how can we really get to know Him any better? Because we can't see Him. He's not there physically. And so because we're humans and we prefer that face-to-face contact, sometimes we start to think, well, I can't really get to know God better. But I think we need to. We need to get to know Him better, get to know Him deeper, and it's a constant learning experience. But how do we do that? And I think this is going to be a two-part message. This is something that's been, I've been thinking about for a while, but it's a subject that's not easy. This morning I'm going to be speaking mostly about who God is. In order to get to know Him and to get to know Him better, we have to understand who He is. And for me to try to get up here and explain who God is, I go into that knowing I can't do it justice. I go into it knowing I can't get close. Knowing that I hesitate to say going to be a failure, but God is so far beyond what we can comprehend that I know I can't do the subject justice. And so it's been a struggle for me to try to do this, because when I do something, I like to do it right, and it just feels like I can't do this the way it should be done, but we're going to try with God's help. So why do we need to understand who God is? Because if we don't know who He is, then how do we know who we're worshiping? And if we don't understand who He is, we can maybe end up following the wrong thing or a false god. So we're going to look into who God is, and I'm not revealing any new truth this morning. If you hear something this morning that you may not have thought of before, it's not because it's a new truth about God. God is who He is and always has been. But we can constantly be learning about Him. So where do we start? Well, I like to start at the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1. And I'm going to be using a lot of scripture, so I actually have them printed out up here simply to save time. And so if you aren't able to follow along and want to know the scriptures afterwards, I can give you the scriptures if you want. So Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we all know that. We all know that scripture. We all know the story of creation. So who is God? First of all, He's a creator. He created the heavens and the earth with a spoken word. The psalm says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." If you study the stars and creation, I did a little bit of research on the stars yesterday, and it's amazing. If you go out on a clear night, you can see approximately 3,000 stars without a telescope. I thought it would be a lot more than that, but according to Answers in Genesis, that's about what you can see with the naked eye. You can see about 3,000 stars on a clear night. But just in our galaxy, the Milky Way, anybody want to guess how many stars there are in our galaxy? A lot. Very good. 200,000 million is what they guess is in our galaxy. Now that number is so great, we really can't comprehend that number. If you could count 3 stars per second and would count nonstop for 100 years, you wouldn't even be at 5% of our galaxy. 3 stars per second for 100 years, and you wouldn't even get close to the stars in our galaxy. And that's only our galaxy. I don't know how many galaxies there are. There's at least 4 that they know of that they can see, and there's more. The estimated number of stars in the observable universe, it's a 1 followed by 25 zeros. And I think that's like 1 billion, trillion, something in there. We cannot comprehend those numbers. We simply can't. But God made all those stars with the spoken word. Just like that, they were there. That's our God. He is a creator. He is our creator. He created each one of us. And He created us in His image. The Bible doesn't spend a lot of time trying to prove that God exists. It just states that He is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, that's one thing we can look at. God is the creator. He is our creator. And if you look at the earth and nature, the complexity of it, the beauty of it, the order of it, that alone is a testament to how great our God is. The next one is God is eternal. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." 1 Timothy 1 verse 17 says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone is wise, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God is eternal. There again, we cannot truly understand that. I love history, so when I read something and I read about a person, I want to know who he is or where he came from. Well, when you open the Bible to Genesis 1 verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That's where it starts. Where did God come from? You can't trace him. You can't look at his ancestry and say, "Oh, well, that's where God came from. He was there." History starts at Genesis 1 verse 1, and God was there. Where did he come from? I don't know. He always was. and he always will be. God is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. We can't grasp that. We can't understand that. And too often we struggle with this because we're human, but God is not. God is not like us. He is not human, and we can never fully understand him. We just can't. The Bible is full of descriptions of God, and we're going to look at more of those to try to help us understand who God is. But it doesn't matter if I would stay up here for the next 5 hours and talk about this. We'll never fully understand who he is. But we need to keep looking at different things that God is and different ways to try to understand him. The next one is God is unchangeable. He does not change. Malachi 3 verse 6, this was God speaking. For I am the Lord, I do not change. That's just the first part of verse 6. I am the Lord, I do not change. He will not change. Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? There at the end, it kind of implies, like, really? You think God's going to say something and not do it? God would never do that. God is not a man. God does not change. Psalm 102, verses 26 and 27. They will perish, talking about men. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. Verse 27, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. David, talking about the Lord, you are the same, your years have no end. He is unchanging. You look at stories in the Old Testament, and he delivered the children of Israel from their enemies over and over and over. He won their battles for them. There's times they didn't even have to lift a sword, and God fought their battles for them. God did that for them back then. He can do the same for us today. The same God that was in the Old Testament from the beginning of time is the same God today. He does not change. He's constant. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He's always there. Next, God is incomparable. He's unequal and he's perfect. There is no one else like him. 2 Samuel 7, verse 22. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears? There is none like you. There is no one else that is like God. There is no one else that can compare to him, not even close. Psalm 86, verse 8, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. No one or nothing has even come close to doing what God has done, and what God can do, and what God will do. There is nothing like him. Nothing compares. And he's perfect. Matthew 5 verse 48 says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He is flawless. He makes no mistakes. God is inscrutable, or he is impossible to understand. We can't understand God. We can try, and we need to try, but there are some things, as humans, we just can't understand. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And I think that word unsearchable means beyond our understanding. We cannot grasp it, how great our God is. And the next one I didn't put in there. Romans 11, verses 33 and 34. I was afraid this would happen. I have all these scriptures and I missed one. Romans 11, verses 33 and 34 said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. It is impossible to understand the depth of God, the complete, perfect holiness of God. We can't understand it. God is unfathomable, he's unsearchable, and he's past finding out, as far as understanding it completely. We can't do it. God is just. He shows no favoritism. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteousness and upright is he. God is perfect. God is all-powerful. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, it's the Lord speaking. He says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God's asking the question, is there anything too hard for me? Absolutely not. God can do, there's nothing too hard for God. He is all-powerful. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Everywhere you go, God is there. God is omniscient. He knows the past. He knows the future. He knows the present. God knows everything. He knows all our thoughts. That's a little bit scary. God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're gonna think. He knows what you have thought. He knows everything about you. He knows everything. He knows everyone. But yet, He is my God. He is my personal Savior. He loves me. He loves each one of us. He is sovereign. He's supreme. He's the only God. God is righteous. He cannot and He will not overlook sin. Yet, He is willing to be my God. God is holy. He's completely separated from moral defilement and He hates all sin. Yet, He is my God. So we're starting to get this picture of God. He's holy, He's perfect, He's righteous, He's all-powerful, He's everywhere, He knows everything. So we're starting to see this picture of a very large, powerful God. Yet He knows each one of us by name. If you look at history and kings, you have some kings that were very good kings. They weren't powerful leaders as far as, they didn't win a lot of battles necessarily, but people loved them because they knew how to relate with the people. Then you had other kings that would win every battle they went to and destroyed every country they fought against, but they didn't usually have the other side. You have one or the other, but with God, He has both. He is holy, He's perfect, He's righteous, and yet He knows each one of us by name. The scripture that Lee read this morning in John chapter 10, he read one verse. Verse 27, Lee said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He was focusing on the following part. What about just before that? Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He knows each one of us. And it goes on to say, And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And we could talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And there again, I can't explain that, because God is so far beyond our understanding. This was Jesus speaking, and He said, My Father is greater than all. But I and my Father are one. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. And I love this story in the Old Testament. This was the second time Moses goes up on the Mount Sinai. The first time when God came down on the mountain, there was smoke and fire and trumpets and the people were terrified. The whole mountain was shaking. And when He came back down, they had made that golden calf and He broke the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone, and later he had to go back up and do it all again. And this is just before Moses goes up again. And God is tired of the children of Israel messing up and sinning. And He said, they're a stiff-necked generation. I'm tired of it. But Moses once again intercedes and said, please, don't destroy them. The Exodus 33, verse 17. Well, Moses is saying, if your presence doesn't go with us, in verse 15, and don't bring us up from here, then how will people know that we are your people, that you are our God? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So he was interceding for the people. He was pleading with God. In verse 17, So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. This great, powerful God that showed Himself in smoke and thunder and lightning and trumpets. knew Moses by name. He was a personal God. He knew him personally. And then Moses goes on and says, please show me your glory. And God says in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Our God is so great, so powerful, that we cannot see the face of God and survive it. We can't do it. So the Lord told Moses, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses got to see the back of God. He was not allowed to see the face of God, because it would have killed him. But God allowed Moses to see his back. And if we go on and read, let's actually jump down to Exodus 34, verse 5. It says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. And listen, here's the Lord himself telling us who he is and what he is like. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. This great, powerful, almighty God is gracious, and he's merciful, and he's long-suffering, and he abounds in goodness and truth. And he has mercy, and he forgives our sins. How can he be both? We cannot understand that. But we dare not forget both sides. We need to know both sides of God. And Moses, when he finally got down off this mountain, had to cover his face because he saw the glory of God and his entire face was shining, that he had to cover his face. That's my God. Turn to Psalm chapter 139. I'm going to read a few verses, the first 14 verses in this chapter, and then I'm going to jump over to chapter 145, and I'm just going to read some psalms here because the descriptions the psalmist gives of God are just incredible, and I just love these couple of chapters. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me before, behind and before, or hedged means surrounded. God has surrounded us behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. He is powerful enough to completely surround us and protect us, yet he cares enough to reach down and touch us, to take care of us. The psalmist says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. We cannot comprehend why such a great and powerful God would love us enough to personally take care of us. In the next couple of verses, he talks about where can we go to get that God isn't there? Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. We can't get away from God. He is everywhere. We can go to the ends of the earth, and God is there. Verse 13, but you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. This almighty, all-powerful God created us and took care of us before we were even born. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Why is he saying this? Verse 3 says, this is why he's praising the Lord. Because great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Or His greatness is beyond our understanding. And yet I'm up here trying to explain to you how great His greatness is. I can't do it. But we have to understand how great our God is. Verse 8, the Lord, here again, this great, powerful, holy, righteous God. Listen to these next couple of verses about how much He cares for us. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. The Lord is gracious. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger. He's merciful. Yet He's an everlasting God. His kingdom will never end. He takes care, He raises up those of us that fall. If we fall down, He's there to pick us up. If we call on Him, He's there for us. He cares for us. Psalm 146, starting in verse 5 through the end of the chapter. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked He turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. The picture He paints of our God is just incredible. Almighty, all-powerful, yet He cares for us. All-knowing, yet He picks us up when He falls. He can do anything. He cannot stand sin, yet He loves us and He forgives us. That's the God I serve. And like Jeremiah said, if you're going to glory in anything, glory in the fact that you know God and that you understand Him. Do I fully understand Him? No. I never will. But I do know He is great, He's powerful, but yet He loves me and has forgiven me. And I praise the Lord that I know God and that I can, with the help of the Scriptures, try to understand who He is. And we read a couple times in there that God is righteous and that He loves the righteous, but He will destroy the way of the sinners. And I think that's where many people say, well, that can't be a God of love. If God destroys the sinners and sends them to hell, that can't be a God of love. Don't you dare let people tell you that God does not love you because of that. God loved us so much, and we all know the story, that He sent His only Son, His perfect Son, to die for us. That He was willing to step back and watch His Son suffer for us. That's love. And He was willing to do that for us. The choice is ours. God has made a way for us. He is so holy and is so completely separated from anything immoral, from any sin, that the only way for us to become righteous was to send that perfect sacrifice. This is the only way it could happen. And He loved us so much, He was willing to do that. Because of what His Son did on the cross, we can receive the righteousness of God. That's love. That's how much He loved us. So that was part one of getting to know God. Trying to understand who He is. Hopefully next time I'll be able to look at what can we do. Now that we hopefully, a little bit better understand who God is, how great He is, how powerful, how holy, how perfect He is, but yet how much He loves us and cares for us. Now that we can try to understand that, what can we do to try to get to know Him better? And I think the beginning in that lays in Jeremiah also. I thought I had that scripture. I don't have it with me. But Jeremiah talks about serving the Lord with our whole heart, searching for Him with our whole heart. So let's make that our goal, to, like Lee said this morning, follow God, to search for God wholeheartedly, no other distractions. The world is so full of distractions. We are so busy. We got so much going on. Let's not let that get in our way, searching for God and trying to get to know God even better. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word that You've given us, that is just filled with description after description of Your greatness, Your love, Your mercy, Your compassion. Lord, we thank You for all of the attributes that You have and that You display. And even though we can never fully understand You, we are thankful and grateful and praise You for what You have done for us and for who You are. Lord, ask You to be with each one of us as we strive to get to know You better and to put You first and to search for You with our whole hearts. Ask You to be with us as we leave from here. Ask You to be with the food that is prepared. Ask that You would bless it. Help us use strength for honor Your glory, Lord. We ask this all in Your name. Amen. You're dismissed.